The Muslim Brotherhood is just one of the many groups and individuals calling for new systems of government across the Middle East. Zachary Lockman, would you please help us keep track of all the different players involved?
I would be glad to.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Zachary Lockman is professor of Middle Eastern and Islamic Studies at New York University. This is what we need to know. How are we to think of the major swaths of land where this is happening? First, give us the big picture.
Well, this is a very large area. We have protests in Algeria. There are big protests planned for Morocco, which is even further west, which is as close to the United States as the Arab world gets, stretching way across to the Persian Gulf, many thousands of miles to the east, in the tiny kingdom of Bahrain, where, as we've seen in the last couple of days, a very violent suppression of protests by people demanding democratic participation. There's a common sense that the Arab world is woken up and is demanding democracy, is demanding freedom, is demanding something new and different than what they've experienced over the past several decades.
Okay, help break that down for us then. Where are the most basic commonalities, the motivations why people are turning out, perhaps what they're up against in terms of the government?
Throughout the region, we have, to put it sort of crudely, old men governing autocratically over populations that are now very young. In most of these countries, the great majority of the population is under 30, and some of them, the majority of the population is under 20. There's very high unemployment. Prices are rising. People want a better life, and they see that their only hope for a better life is also changing their system of government, being treated like human beings by police states, which have basically treated them like cattle.
Why do the cracks in these systems, where there have been protests of one sort or another, sometimes crushed, sometimes overt, sometimes covert, for decades now, why do the cracks appear in the places where they did? Tunisia, Egypt, for instance.
Tunisia was a success, and that was enormously inspiring. The entire Arab world was transfixed by what they saw in Tunisia, where a people rose up and drove out its American-backed dictator who'd been in power for 30 years. And the contagion spread very quickly to Egypt. And those young activists who'd been organizing for quite a while, who were inspired by labor unrest a couple of years ago, by previous movements which hadn't succeeded, decided that this was the time. And this example is now spread. There's nothing as inspiring as success. All these things that have been building over the decades suddenly burst out into the open. A spark struck the tinder, which then exploded into flames across the region.
Can you tell, in terms of the crackdowns on the protests, whether one regime and, in fact, one set of protesters are learning from the previous ones?
We know that the Egyptian activists were inspired by the example of young people in Serbia, the people who overthrew Milosevic several years ago, and they learned from the Tunisian example, and they're watching very closely in other countries and trying to apply the same methods. They're insisting on trying to be as peaceful as possible. Unfortunately, the regimes also learn from each other, and I fear that what the Bahraini regime and the Algerian regime and Gaddafi's regime in Libya have learned from the Egyptian and Tunisian cases is that you need to crack down very hard right at the start. And that's something the Iranian regime, of course, has been doing for quite a while. You need to get people off the streets, prevent them from occupying space, prevent this from gaining momentum. Because once it gains momentum, once you have thousands, again, hundreds of thousands of people in the streets, it's very hard to get them out of the streets without massive bloodshed. Better hit them hard very early on. And unfortunately, that's some of what we're seeing playing out in recent days.
Where are you keeping your eye on most right now?
Bahrain is important to watch. Algeria, Morocco is about to experience protests, and Morocco has a long tradition of both a royal autocracy and of democratic struggles against that autocracy. And there are various places which don't get much attention, but which I suspect are a little more brittle than people think of them to be. For example, Saudi Arabia, where, you know, we think of it as an enormously wealthy country with a monarchy that everyone loves, the bastion of conservative Islam. But there are a lot of poor and deprived Saudis who don't feel they have much of a stake in the system. This is a country ruled by a bunch of people in their 80s who've been in power basically forever, dominating a very young population. Most people in Saudi Arabia are, again, under 20. And there, too, there's a tremendous demand for change, for participation, for a better life. And things could crack quicker than we might expect.
We're going to end it there, even though there's lots more to talk about. We appreciate your time. Zachary Lockman, professor of Middle Eastern and Islamic Studies at New York University. Thank you.
My pleasure.